Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Of the Wicked Anime Podcast. I am the stupid awesome analyst Jonathan, and with me is the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
I am the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
We have the fangirl, Victoria.
Hi!
You are back from Florida.
Uh-huh.
She's actually in the same room as us.
I know, it's so weird!
Yeah, and actually we are in...
my apartment.
Her apartment,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine and James's apartment.
It's beautiful.
It's
and
so,
our friend
it's so
Jeff.
Nice.
I think they've talked with Jeff.
He's been on our podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes, he has.
Well, we're completely forgetting somebody right now, and we have Evan from the Boston Bastard Brigade.
What pasiwa, Mr. Meeseeks, mite, mite.
We...
I'm sorry, what?
That was...
that was a line from Japanese Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
What pasiwa, I don't even watch English Rick and Morty, yeah. I'm sorry.
What pasiwa, Mr. Meeseeks, mite, mite.
I was like, no thanks.
That was so awesome when that showed up. I saw a video that I hadn't looked at yet, but there was somebody, a Japanese girl, reacting... to hearing the American voices to Rick and Morty.
She hated the American voices, but she said the Japanese ones sounded cuter.
That's so funny. That's such a Japanese thing to say. Oh, these voices don't sound cute.
Yeah, it's not as cute.
I can never picture Rick and Morty cute, though.
Yeah, right? Exactly. There's nothing cute about Rick and
Morty.
But
I will say that all the Japanese voices are perfect. Like, they are...
No, awesome. I agree.
They all match so well to the show. It's really great.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to watch the...
Jack, so I will take your opinion.
You don't watch Rick and Morty?
Hell no, it looks ridiculous.
It does look ridiculous. It's from the same guy who did Community. Do you watch Community?
Yeah.
Yeah, same guy who did Community did Rick and Morty.
I don't have time to watch things on TV. I watch Netflix and Hulu Plus, guys. Like, now I have to...
Rick and Morty's on Hulu Plus. It's on there.
I have to find a job.
Go on to Hulu Plus. It's on there. Watch it there.
It's on Hulu Plus?
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Oh, crap. Now
it's really worth it.
It's really funny.
I'm going to be catching up on Steven Universe when that's done. We'll see.
Wow, you need to catch up on Steven Universe?
No, by catch up, I mean, like, I watched the new episode last
Okay,
week.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, hang on a second
I'm
now.
Trying to get out of watching
this like,
show.
That's like me saying, I got to catch up on JoJo.
I have a Steven Universe blanket downstairs.
Mm-hmm. And that was Into the West! Do we? I don't... Yes, we do have an Into the West. We actually have another Into the West later. I'm going to save it as a surprise, though, because I don't want to.
Surprise?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm scared.
Anyways, it's time to ring the news bell.
News.
Okay. First up in media news,
ding.
There was an announcement that they were going to create a live-action drama series this summer for The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
I did hear about that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be
cool. That was a good movie.
It was a great movie. Here's the thing, though. They've had a live-action movie of The Girl Who Leapt Through Time before, and I saw the trailer for it, and that was it for me. I just thought it was awful. Really? Yeah, because The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, the live-action movie, was about Makoto goes back in time and goes back into the 70s, meets a guy, and falls in love with the guy in the 70s and tries to fall in love with him there. And so, it's, like, not even the same movie.
Well, the thing is, that one's more based on the original novel.
Is that really what the original novel was about?
Yeah.
Well, then...
The Mamoru Hosoda movie is technically a sequel to the original novel.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Well,
now you know.
Yeah, now you know.
Learning and growing.
But that means that Mamoru Hosoda technically took a property and made it his own, and it was the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, right? So
that was a good New Year's Eve.
That was a really good New Year's Eve because we all that was our discovery
in my attic.
Yeah, yep. That was our discovery of Mamoru Hosoda, mm-hmm. and which has led us to the trail of having to see every single movie he's in. It's kind of like stalking him over the internet, being like, "When is your next movie coming out?"
Yeah.
And then Oh, yeah. He's the best.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what direction they're going to take for this live-action series. Are they just going to take the movie and extend it out into a series? Like a or are they going series? To take Mamoru Hosoda's version? So that's going to be a really interesting thing to find out. Mm-hmm. Next up in media news. Okay, this is kind of a somber story, but it's got like this lighthearted kind of feel to it. Light novel author Tomohiro Matsu, he created the light novels for books such as Listen to Me, Girls, I Am Your Father. That series came out a while ago as an anime, but it was originally a light novel series.
There
anyways,
are so many light novels getting anime adaptions now.
Yeah, there are. Like with Konosuba, which is coming out now in America.
It really kind of started with Sword Art Online. Sword Art Online was really major, like, hey, light novels are really popular.
Yeah.
No, I would disagree. I think it was the Haruhi Suzumiya series that was like the first one.
Yeah, that's true, but like that was probably like the first one.
Yeah, that was the only one.
But the trend really picked up when they found out how popular Sword Art Online was. And then like
cuz then after like, yeah. After that was No Game, No Life.
Oh, Bakemonogatari.
Bakemonogatari, and then, you know, Konosuba. So, it.
Spice and Wolf, Kajiro Days.
Freaking love Spice and Wolf.
Yeah, we have a bunch of Spice and Wolf fans among us.
So, anyways.
I like Fox Girls. So.
Wolf Girl.
Yeah, that makes last sense.
That's right, she is a Wolf Girl. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, so screw her.
Animal Girls.
Not literally.
Animal Girls, it's fine. Anything's fine.
I was just thinking, I'm not gonna say this out loud in the podcast. I was like, I cosplayed Hal. I was like, huh. I think I still have my foxtail and ears I might have to give to a future girlfriend. So. I'll be a good friend. There you go.
So Tomohiro Matsu, he actually recently passed away. He was only 43 years old, and I think he had some kind of illness. I think it was kept under wraps by his family. They didn't really talk about it that much.
Man, I heard a voice actress just recently passed away too.
Yeah, she was
from Digimon.
She was one of like the OG voice actors of our time.
She was 51 years old.
It's crazy.
Yeah, she was recently the voice of Usagi's mother in the new Sailor Moon series.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So the story for Tomohiro Matsu is that as sad as his passing is, his request for the memorial service was the illustrator for all of his properties. He bought a white casket, and the illustrator for every series drew every single one of his original characters on his casket.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And...
beautiful. Yeah. Like, I'd be crying the whole time. Oh my god.
And Matsu himself described this in his will as the Ita coffin, which in the Akihabara, Itachi cars are those vehicles that you see around that are plastered with anime characters.
Yeah.
Well, he made the Ita coffin, and it was his gift, his final gift to the world.
Oh my gosh. It kind of makes me want to cry right now.
I know, it's like... Damn.
When I read the story, it was gorgeous. It was so beautiful, and it's like
I want a picture.
Yeah,
are there pictures?
Yeah, it's
there are.
If there wasn't, that'd be kind of horrible.
I got this article off of Rocket News, which is easily one of the best.
Somebody link me pictures, please. Like I want to see this. Dude. Oh my gosh.
I'm sure that all those things on the side of the coffin they're all goodbye messages from his characters.
Oh, I'd be so heartbroken.
That's so depressing, but like so beautiful.
I mean, it is sad, but like, isn't it like one of the greatest things ever? It's like now I know what I want on my coffin.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do with my coffin.
I like the idea of the tree.
Oh like, yeah, like being cremated and turned into a tree.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's really pretty.
Yeah.
I don't really want to be thinking about a coffin right now. But...
this is getting really grim right now, guys. Okay.
Not really. I mean, like it's a
starting my new adventure, talking about dying.
Yeah, I just got here, but I'm out.
I survived my plane ride, you know, with my cat who is not happy with me.
I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah. You know what? For once, I'm gonna say I'm sure he's fine.
I sure hope that when I die, somebody's gonna say I'm sure he's fine, seeing that I started it.
Yeah,
I started this.
That's what's gonna be on your gravestone.
We'll make sure,
Andrew from 1990. To whenever. I'm sure he's fine.
Wherever he is.
Actually, as a matter of fact, I think that's a wonderful idea. Just saying.
Let's not plan your twin brother's coffin. Like, do you have any more news? Because it's got real grim. Real
yes, bad. Okay. Yeah,
yes,
right, last,
stop it.
Last media news story. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So,
so great to be back, guys.
Evan sent me this story. And,
that weirdo. All right.
AKB48 members to star in a Japan and U.S. crossover production, which is going to be a 6-episode horror miniseries to come out in July on Hulu. So AKB48, they're gonna do a horror series on Hulu. Like, how crazy is that? Evan, do you know more about this production?
I know that the guy who helped create it, Darren something, but he directed Saw 2, 3, and 4, like the much better sequels than the original Saw movie.
He graduated from our college. He graduated from Fulton University. Yep.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yes. And I don't know much about it because a lot of the info was in Japanese, but it looks really interesting. And just hearing Darren, the director, talk about these two girls, the two people from AKB48, and how they acted on there, it sounds like that he was just immensely impressed with their acting skills. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this show when it pops up on Hulu in a couple months.
Yeah, that's great. You're going to have to tell us about it because I still don't have Hulu. But I also read that. So Darren
I don't watch it because I don't do horror.
Yeah. So Darren is a producer on this show, and there's going to be a Japanese director on it. And
I think he helped out on like the production of a couple of the episodes already, though. I think he was like a co-director or something, or he's there all the time just to make sure production's going okay.
Interesting. Okay. But also, there are supposed to be other members of AKB48 making appearances in the show too. But you know, AKB48, they kind of have this weird rap, don't they? Because they're only known for the fact that they're in the Akihabara district, and you know, they're only known to nerds or otaku in Japan. You know, it's like a weird
rap. Their fans could be kind of creepy at times.
Wicked creepy at times. Like, for instance, buying hundreds upon hundreds of CDs just to get a handshake.
Hundreds? Try thousands.
Or no, yeah. It wasn't the handshake tickets. A long time ago, it was who was going to be the next front member of it. You bought a CD with a member's face on it, and whoever CDs sold the most was the next front member for AKB48. And they spent, like, and there were fans who spent hundreds of thousands of yen to get them their favorite into the front spot, which is crazy.
Yeah, and it was like, that was what kind of turned me off from like the whole idol scene until stuff like Baby Metal and even Love Live like showed me, hey, it's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
It's more of like the fan base that kind of creeps me out more, because I have much respect for a lot of the musicians and the singers that are in the idol industry, but it's just the fans that kind of like really turned me off from diving much deeper into the subgenre.
Gosh, that sounds really familiar. Cough, cough, conventions. Cough, yeah. Cough, Steven Universe.
What?
Not you specifically.
I know. Same.
Hey, listen, it happens to My Little Pony fans too. Homestucks. Anyways, that's all I have for media news. I do have one piece of gaming news,
I have gaming news.
You have gaming news too? Is it about Monster Hunter?
It is.
I'm shocked.
I was going to say, if he has gaming news, it's not even a question what it's about.
So, all right, what's yours? Okay, so actually, Evan shot this over to me. Which Evan is right here, weird. Evan shot this over to me right before we started, but I actually already knew about this from prior days.
Of course he did. It's Monster Hunter. You're first to know.
Yeah. Monster Hunter Online, you know, that China-made MMO that's like made in the Unreal Engine. No, the CryEngine. CryEngine 3 Monster Hunter. Like, it's gorgeous. It's out of this world amazing. Only available in China. It's made by Tencent, and Capcom is aware of it. And
do they have their blessing on it?
I have no idea. but here's what's happening: is because it's China only, and Japan is freaking out. Like, why the hell don't we have this? And America's freaking out. Why the hell don't we have this? Like, strictly, I mean, China of all places for Monster Hunter. What? Like, we should be getting this stuff, especially because it's an MMO and it looks beautiful. It's finally getting an English patch. Now, see, the thing is the English patch is you still have to go through the huge hassle of going to the Chinese websites, downloading the Chinese clients, installing it. There's install guides all over the internet and everything like that. But Tencent, the people who made this CryEngine 3 Monster Hunter Online MMO, this English patch has their blessing. Like, they are aware of it, and they're like, yeah, if you guys want to English patch this, go right ahead. So, my life may be over, because I will...
You really got to try it.
Okay, so the thing is I don't have a PC right now. I don't have, like, a laptop PC, but that is kind of in my scope. Like, I've been thinking about, wow, I really need a new laptop, and I really would like to try playing some games on it and stuff like that. I have an old laptop that still runs games, like Japanese games that I get and stuff, but now that this is in my field of view, I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta try this. Because if you guys haven't seen videos for Monster Hunter Online, it's amazing.
I haven't.
Yeah, it's seriously, like, I even just go to the character creation videos. Like, some people make their character creation video and then they play, like, the first 5 minutes of the game. It's so amazing. Like, they even do the thing, like, where your created character is in cutscenes still, and you have a Palico. Wow. Like, it's amazing. So now that they actually have an English patch coming out, I'm really psyched. I actually would put the effort in of going to download the Chinese client and doing everything that I need to give it a shot, because it's really amazing.
I feel like you're going to be the only one who's going to be trying this.
Yeah.
I don't care.
All of us, at least.
Yeah, I mean, hey, yeah. It looks really amazing, and
some of our hunters from Monster Hunter Weekends will probably give it a shot, well, too.
And the character creation is so in-depth. Like, they give you, like, bases of, like, faces and hairs and stuff to try out, and then you can mold it into whatever you want, which is way farther in-depth than the actual Monster Hunter. Like, you don't even get to... And
well, there's a difference between CryEngine 3 and 3DS.
Yeah, I know. But the fact that they actually got it to run on the CryEngine is pretty big.
They collaborated with Crytek to get the engine running from Monster Hunter Online.
Yeah, and the thing it means a thing like this is possible. You know, like, it's possible to have Monster Hunter look this good. Like, it doesn't just have to be a portable game, even though the portable game is what
makes it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you know, Monster Hunter Generations is coming out
July.
July. It's coming out in July, and I'm so freaking psyched. But this English patch of Monster Hunter Online is slated for May 30th. In a week.
That's really close.
Yeah, it's really close. So
I'll be playing Overwatch.
Yep, I'll be playing Overwatch too. But
I'll still be playing Xbox. Doom.
But I found this website that has, I think it's actually the website that Evan sent me for this. The comment on the bottom of it is from somebody named Kogath. And he says, I didn't realize our patch had gotten this much attention lately. Thanks for posting about it. Like, to the article writer who wrote this article about, hey, the patch is actually coming out. And because people are freaking out about this. People are, like, so incredibly excited that there's a Monster Hunter Online patch, because it's a Chinese-only game for some reason. You know, and hey, we're finally going to be able to try out some servers in English. Holy crap.
Cool.
So that is in my future. That guaranteed is in my future once I get a good PC.
Yeah. So what I had for gaming news, another somber story. I'm like bringing all the death to the yard today.
What the hell, man?
Disney Infinity is canceled.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not that upset about that.
Oh, but you know what I'm... You know what I'm upset about?
You have it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't played it very often. Like, we bought it... Technically, James bought it for me because I complained enough. But no, we paid him back. I'm kidding. But yeah, we have it. We didn't get a lot of the figures for it. Like, we've got, I think I have Rapunzel. My roommate had
good choice.
Captain America. I had Stitch. And I think I don't know. But those are the ones I definitely had. And I had Merida. And, like, I don't know. It wasn't as cool and as much as I hoped it would be.
Yeah, that's pretty much what everybody kind of thinks about it. It's more for a younger audience, unfortunately.
A lot of people just collect the figures.
Yeah, see, yeah. That's what I was going to say was I don't have Disney Infinity at all, but I really want the Tron figures. Like, that's
that
all.
Surprise,
like, I want the Korra and I want Tron. And, like,
excellent, Jack. I need my Jack Skellington.
Yeah, see, but the thing is, though, is now they're all going away. So they're getting harder to find. So if I
can you imagine how much they're gonna go up on eBay for?
Oh,
yeah.
Crap.
So
oh, man.
So if I find a Korra and Tron before they go away, I'm probably going to buy them.
Why didn't you tell me while I was in Disney? Because that's all they ever had on the shelves.
I don't know.
And I had a discount.
I didn't even think about it.
True.
That would have been so
good job,
amazing.
Guys. Good job.
Yeah.
GG. GJ.
Oh, I'm so sad now. Noob. Why did you? You shouldn't have even mentioned that to me.
I have to remind you of your mistakes. Come on.
I love Tron.
I was really surprised that we never got any Studio Ghibli characters. Maybe.
Right.
Oh, that would have been cool.
So bad.
How cool would it have been?
Dude, I would have spent everything I had on those.
It's just because they're distributed by Disney. They're not actually like Disney properties.
No,
right.
I understand.
So popular. Like it would have been. It would have definitely made money.
Though technically,
the gamers are mostly into that too.
Yeah,
so.
Technically, though, with the Marvel stuff too, it's just distributed by Disney. That's not a Disney property.
It's the Marvel superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more of those than there are, like...
Yeah, like the Ghibli stuff, yeah. But... Yeah, no, but still, it's...
Dude, I would just play Howl all the time, just whoosh.
I would probably play as
maybe
a
they
scarecrow.
Can now sink that money into building that Studio Ghibli land that Disney, like, creator
no
wanted to
oh
build.
God.
So, did you... Evan, actually, we had Nerdy Show podcast had a discussion about why Disney Infinity is going away. Are you familiar with the actual reason?
Well, it's because they didn't make as much money with the third one as they did with the previous two. The sales were dropping like slower and lower and lower. And because of that, they figured, let's not bother doing any more then if no one's really going to be buying the game and such. So not only did they cancel Disney Infinity, but they're also closing the Disney Interactive Studio.
Yes. So you were kind of correct. So what's happening is, yes, the whole Disney Interactive Studio is going away. But if Disney Infinity... So Disney Infinity is out of print. Like, they're actually taking the items off the shelves... And kind of liquidating the whole thing. So that's not just like they're not making it anymore. That's like it's going away. And what we discussed on Nerdy Show was I shouldn't say we because I wasn't there. But what Nerdy Show discussed,
you were yelling into the radio and they weren't talking back.
Was the Shanghai project, Disney Shanghai, the theme park, is like millions of dollars over budget. So they are literally looking for places where they're hemorrhaging money so that they can make more money, so that they can build this theme park. They're closing down all the interactive studios and all, like, ABC studios. Like, that's why they're canceling things like Agent Carter, Castle, and all those shows.
The Muppets.
They're closing all of those down. Because of this Disney Shanghai project. And so all the video games are going away. All the Marvel TV shows are going away.
Because I don't know, have you guys watched the videos for the shit that they did?
No.
You need to look up Pirates of the Caribbean in Shanghai. It is the you fucking get attacked by the Kraken. Like, it's the coolest shit. It's amazing to watch. And, like, I know a lot of it is what I've heard.
I'm looking at pictures right now of Shanghai Disney and holy shit.
It's time for some strange news.
Woo, strange news.
So, first up at strange news, May 5th is Children's Day in Japan.
It's also Revenge of the 5th.
It's also Revenge of the 5th. But for anybody who doesn't know, it's Children's Day.
I thought
Day.
You said coming up, and I was like, what?
No.
Sorry, I was getting a text from
Get off your phone.
My roommates, okay? They're like, we're coming home, we don't want to make noise. And I'm like, it's okay.
So, May 5th in Japan is Children's Day.
It's also when I'm getting married in 2 years.
And right. Also when she's getting married in 2 years. And TV Asahi in Japan wanted to broadcast a special television program about cute kids and their daily lives. You know, Japanese babies, all that stuff. That's great. Like, why... why would there be anything wrong with that? There isn't. We have babies on America's Funniest Home Videos all the time, and it's really cute, really funny, whatever. Well, there was something really off about this Children's Day broadcast on TV Asahi.
Okay.
They, for some reason, decided that it was appropriate to censor the nipples of all the babies.
Of the
what?
Babies?
Of the babies. Yeah. Yeah, you can also a news story from Rocket News that I found, and you can see screenshots of the TV broadcast.
Where does Rocket News get these things? Like, I don't understand.
Because part of it is based out of Japan.
They're in Japan. Okay. Yep. So, yeah. So they
nipples on babies.
They decide to, and yeah, there's
they're babies.
There's screen caps on the article of like these little chicks hatching out of eggs, and you know, like, little cartoon chicks hatching out of eggs and just like dancing over the nipples of babies.
Because that doesn't bring more attention to those.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It's.
Oh my god.
I mean, like, I feel like that's something America would do personally before Japan would do it. But I mean, Japan is really sensitive about their censorship, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I mean, geez.
And they have us to thank for that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. There was a video that someone had posted about how it's because our like prudishness back in the late 1890s when we visited Japan and like all the girls in Japan were like topless, not giving a care, and like all the Americans were like freaking out over it. It's because of us that they became very prudent about nudity as well.
Which is funny because they're one of the most sexualized nations in the entire world, if not the most.
I think Germany might be number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Gross. Yeah. No, it is. Eastern. It's like Germany, Russia, United States, Japan. Is like
United States comes before Japan?
Maybe it's like Russia, Japan, United States, something like that. In like the ranking of the most perverted countries in the world, we're like number three.
And that would be a great topic of discussion.
So,
for later.
So like, we're number three. Russia or Germany is number one, and Japan is number two. I think.
You know what? Screw it. I'm looking up right now. Most perverted nations in the world. Thanks, Google.
Yes. List of most perverted countries revealed.
Oh, look. Rocket News. Somehow Japan does not make the cut.
What?
The online men's magazine Ask Men recently announced the world's horniest countries, with Greece proudly taking the top spot.
That makes sense.
China coming in at number four, and Japan, against all odds, mysteriously absent from the list altogether.
What?
When it comes to sex, Japan is a bit conflicted country. While she supports a diverse and thriving porn industry and a myriad fertility-themed festivals, between the sheets, the Japanese appear to have as much enthusiasm for actual sex as they do about root canals.
So this isn't like the porn industry and perversion. Like,
yeah, this is about like wild about sex, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But there's no actual list. There's no actual list of stuff. I have another. That was the babies one, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes. That went so far off topic.
That was really off
topic. So
we're good at that.
The last piece of strange news I have actually comes from a fan, our wicked fan Anna, who's been emailing us some really awesome info over the past couple weeks.
This is a follow up story, right?
Yes, it is. If anybody remembers, our top strange news story a while back was about an artist whose free speech movement was taking molds of her vagina and selling them as art pieces.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep. Yeah, she has...
you heard it.
This artist, she has a fully 3D printed canoe of her vagina, and she rows down the river of Japan.
It's kind of awesome, but really awkward at the same time.
It's because of... It's a movement against the censorship in Japan.
I understand.
Which is a perfect follow-up to exactly what we were just talking about.
Yes, exactly.
Because just recently,
has
like,
to do with the nipple babies, but still.
Yeah, because in the past week, they had the fertility festival where it's just men walking down the street with giant statues and papier-mâché penises, you know, going down. And like, that's perfectly fine. But the second you show lady parts, it's not cool.
That's actually not true. There's actually like both genital areas represented at the festival. Like, the festival is about
fertility.
It's about phallus. But they do actually have like vagina lollipops and stuff like that.
So, well, that's the thing. They have vagina lollipops, but they don't have like the vagina statues, which there should be more of, in all honesty. Cause...
But you see the what is it? What is a
vagina? That's so my fetish.
All right, so we're saying vagina a lot now, but like what there's. So what is a vagina lollipop? It's a mold. You make a mold of that thing, and then you make a thing, and then you lick it.
Oh my god! I'm the only woman in this conversation. I'm just like, what the fuck is this?
But Victoria. They all have penis pops. They have penis pops for you. It's okay.
This is human anatomy.
No, I know. I made my friend a penis cake for his birthday. Like,
Victoria, this is human anatomy. I am an artist. I talk about these things with maturity. Stay with me.
Need a break? Need a break? Just
keep going. Just keep going with this conversation.
Keep going. God. Yes.
So anyways, the follow-up story about vaginas.
This
Japanese artist, she's been selling online molds. She even created like a little chibi character like out of her vagina, and like it was
Are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious. And you can buy them online. Anyways,
Like, what the hell?
Just recently, she was fined 400,000 yen for
which is like 4 cents American.
Yeah, for indecent exposure. No, it's like $3,800. Mm-hmm. So that's not terrible. That's not the worst thing that could happen for a quote unquote crime.
Yeah, college costs way more.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure there's a lot of people still supporting her movement and stuff like that.
What was her name?
I don't have it. Why don't I?
I found something that's... I just Googled it and it was like Japanese artist arrested.
Let me see. I could probably find out. Yep, that's her. That's her.
She got arrested for it? It's actually kind of cute though.
Yeah, right?
It kind of looks like... Like a lily pad. But like yeah. like a pink lily pad with a face almost.
Yeah, no, like that. I mean, it's kind of cute. It's like I don't know how to react right now.
Well, and
I like the face on it.
And see, but the color scheme and the shapes that they use like don't even represent a real.
That's not the first thing I think of when I look.
Yeah,
at it.
No, not at all. Because I mean,
it's weird.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand what they're doing with the anatomy, but. I find it funny how it looks like it's screaming in horror at its own form.
Yeah.
It does. It's looking at itself in the mirror like, what am I? I'm a monster! I'm a monster!
Makes pussy positive art. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Why is the clitoris yellow?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's like, that was always weird to me. I think that's a problem.
Well, if you think of you know, that does make a good shape for a canoe. Like it looks like it's like
yes,
one of the most, and legit looks like the most sturdiest canoe you could make.
Go down all the rivers.
This is a great conversation.
This is a fantastic conversation.
Everything that we are saying is said with scientific fact.
Yeah. Anyways, Anna was very conflicted on the whole thing. You know, it's like what side does she support? I mean, as one movement, it's like there shouldn't be this much censorship over art pieces, and for another thing, it's also like, well, exposing lady parts is kind of something that you can't even really technically do in America.
Yeah,
you know,
which I mean, I'm all for
artistic
freedom. No. Well, yes, I'm all for artistic freedom, but I'm also for modesty.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So how much did you guys say they
400,000 yen.
Yeah, that's not what you thought it was. $3,700.
Oh, no, I was joking.
Oh, okay. I know you were joking, but like...
It would be the same. It would be
I mentioned that, but you were laugh crying too hard.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I would have made the same joke if it was pesos.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
But not simoleons.
Simoleons is just a slang term for money.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was a Sims joke.
She's made iPhone cases.
Yes.
Yes, she has. And those ones aren't the character. Those ones are, like, legit.
Oh, my God.
What's the character's name?
It's the Japanese word for...
Manco?
Manco. Yeah,
Manco-chan. That's the character's name.
I like
name
that you instantly knew that word.
It's because of that... you know what it is? It's because of Ebichu. I knew it because of Ebichu.
Of what?
The that dirty hamster anime that Gainax made?
Oh, I know it because of visual novels.
Oh.
Oh.
I know what he goes shopping for at anime cons. Like, I know. Shopping.
And that's as strange as it gets.
Thank God.
I know, if we went to a story far beyond
that. Wow, that news took us 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a half hour.
It's good stuff, though.
That, like, broke through part of it, though.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about it earlier, as in the very first thing that we did, but let's take a trip into the West!
Yeah. Oh my god. Sorry, I'm like...
Wait, let me see. What?
Yeah.
They're kind of messy. They can't really see it from...
That's more realistic, I guess.
I've seen them, yeah.
A little canoe next to them, too.
Anyways, so Into the West, we have something super interesting coming our way. There is a website called moviepilot.com, and on moviepilot.com, you can just create an account and you could write articles. It's kind of like a blog post, like if you wanted to create a WordPress or a Tumblr or something like that. Now, the most recent person to make an announcement on there was Mr. Danny Antonucci. Does anybody know what Danny Antonucci has done?
I do.
I know that name. But I can't
the Brothers Grunt.
Ed and Eddie, more specifically.
What?
Yeah, Danny Antonucci is... He's been an animator for a really long time. He actually animated... I believe he animated on Ed and Eddie. Even he's the creator of the show.
Yeah, he was the creator.
Ah, cat.
No, stay down.
Danny Antonucci. I believe he was an animator on Ed and Eddie for like some pieces of it, but he did animation on the movie Heavy Metal. You remember the movie?
Did he really?
Yeah, he was an animator on Heavy Metal.
You know what? I think I knew that.
And
I personally became a fan of his through his MTV cartoon, The Brothers Grunt. And it used to be on like Saturday mornings at 6:30, like these creepy ass albino characters. It was really messed up, but really funny.
I'm not familiar with that. I'm gonna look it up.
But The Brothers Grunt. But anyway, I actually know where you're going with the story. Because I'm actually really excited about it. He announced himself that. He's bringing back Ed and Eddie, but as a movie. So he's doing a...
Are they grown up or is it the same age?
No, he's doing a sequel movie directly off of that final movie they made about Eddie's brother.
The big picture show?
Remember when they went and looked for Eddie's brother? And at the end they found Eddie's brother? It's continuing directly off of that. And if you remember...
The Brothers Grunt looks really creepy, by the way.
That looks terrifying.
And
it is, but it's very funny.
If you remember... Ed and Eddie is probably one of the best kids cartoons with continuity.
No.
Just push him down. My cat is interrupting. I'm sorry. Usually I have him locked in a closet.
So if you remember, okay, let's continue. So if you remember, Ed and Eddie had some really great continuity to it. Like, as the seasons went on, they had just had more things in the show that were like, hey, do you remember when this happened? Or do you remember when we did this? And hey, this is still a factor. These characters still think this about this. So hopefully with this new movie that's coming out, or at least that he's planning to come out, with the way that the big picture show ended, everybody liked Ed and Eddie. Like, finally, like, they started to like them. And they became actually, like, friends with them, and they were happy for them. They stuck up for them when Eddie's brother was being nasty to them. Like, it's going to be really interesting because it's going to be a completely different...
Yeah, they said it's going to be a more serious tone, which big picture movie did have that feeling to it already. It was a much more serious story.
It was
kind of
dark, too.
Yeah, at times it was. A very somber mood. I've been using that word a lot today, but it's true.
It's, yeah. Well, Ed and Eddie is, it was really weird. Like, they went into some pretty weird themes with that. It was definitely a little bit more adult, because... The audience that started with the show was grown up.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my other thing about this too, is that Ed and Eddie is for us. You know, it's the same way that they're like bringing back Powerpuff Girls and stuff like that, and kids don't remember old Powerpuff Girls.
But that's because this new Powerpuff Girls.
This new one's horrible.
Yeah, it's not really for us.
No.
Yeah. It's for this new generation.
They have the freaking Powerpuff Girls twerking. Like, this is not okay.
It's for this generation of people who want to watch the shows that are on there right now, like Uncle Grandpa and Teen Titans
Go. I like Uncle Grandpa and Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
Amazing World Gumball.
I'm so upset with Teen Titans Go.
Gumball is awesome.
Yeah, Gumball is great.
Teen Titans Go was amazing.
Yeah, so...
I think maybe what you might have meant to say was Samurai Jack, because they're bringing Samurai Jack to Adult Swim, because the audience has now grown up.
See, yeah. That's great. I mean, and maybe they'll finally stop using robots as all the main characters.
Yeah, maybe,
or as all the bad guys, rather.
Maybe Jack will actually cut some real people apart.
Anyways, though, Edna and Eddie is definitely not for the Adult Swim crowd. But that's what's happening. It's been announced. Danny Antonucci has said it himself. And I really look forward to seeing it because Edna and Eddie was my favorite show growing up until Teen Titans came out.
Yeah, Edna and Eddie is a really amazing show.
And that was Into the West!
That was a really long Into the West discussion. Mostly because the cat was jumping up on the table.
West.
I just hope that if they do the Ed and Eddie movie, they like bring in all the other voices.
Oh, they definitely
they
will.
Have to.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, and I mean, Matt Hill, he's still a voice actor, so at least Ed will still have a voice actor. But
I'm sure if they, I feel like if they were like, hey, we're going to have everyone back together, they'd be like, okay, let's do it. Like,
oh yeah, no, they'll definitely do a reunion show. I'm almost positive, because as far as I know with voice actors are always looking for work, no matter what it was. So if they can go back to a property to make some money, they'll definitely do it. Like, it's the same reason why anime voice actors who jump on shonen shows are like, yes, that's a paycheck for years, you know?
I would love to see a movie of all those characters grown up, though.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be crazy.
But they can't grow up. They're in purgatory.
Oh, yeah.
Just seeing, like...
More fan theories.
Yep.
I feel like Plank would be a fence. Because you know they'd include him somewhere.
That's awesome.
Okay, so let's move on to what we're watching. I personally have not been watching anything new since our last couple episodes. Everybody knows what we're going to be talking about. I will be talking more specifically on something that I've loved this season when we get onto our Topagotchi.
I have been watching something that I actually forgot to talk about in the last episode, and that's Cerberus. Cerberus is is on Crunchyroll.
It's an anime.
It's definitely an anime. And it's a very run-of-the-mill cookie-cutter fantasy anime. That's very like, oh, the animation is cheap. The characters are bland.
It reminds me of Trinity Seven.
Yeah, you know, like there's dragons in it and sword fighting and beast monsters and I was just like, oh, this is boring and whatever. And that's like, hey, there's cat girls in the show. And I was like, okay, I'll stick around. You know, so I stuck around for episode 5 when they went into a hot springs episode. And I was like, cat girls in a hot spring. Okay, cool.
Wait, would cat girls go into the hot spring because cats don't like water?
Apparently they did in the show. So you know, I don't know.
That's unrealistic anime.
Yeah,
only realistic cat girls.
Well, see, it always brings up the ever wondering question: would I be allergic to cat girls? Because I'm allergic to cats in real life. So like, we've discussed this on the show many times.
Well, considering most cat girls only have, you know, the fur on the ears and the tail, I think you might be okay, Andrew.
As long as it's the dander, right? So you know, like, as long as the dander is like, they clean themselves properly.
You see, what you gotta do, Andrew, is you gotta first stick to a hypoallergenic cat girl for a couple years, and by doing that, you're gonna become immune to the actual regular cat girls. And then by the time you get to hang out with those cat girls, you're gonna be completely allergic free.
Well, but the thing is, but I'm on the same page with, you know, like, dog girls and fox girls and wolf girls. So, you know, like that, I'll take that too. And I'm not allergic to dogs.
Do they have ears that are not human ears? Great.
Essentially. And a tail.
Yeah. And a tail. Yeah. See, the tail does kind of matter, but I can't, do Mithras and Mikotes have tails? I can't remember. That's like one of my favorites.
I don't know.
Hey, that actually brings me on to my next, what I'm watching. Because I was, last episode I was watching Bakemonogatari. And there's a fantastic cat girl in there, but that's besides the point. Hanakawa is best girl. Kanbaru would be best girl if she wasn't a lesbian, because then it like realism is like, oh, she's a lesbian, she likes girls, so it doesn't matter. Oh, spoilers. It's not really, but anyway, Bakemonogatari, or the Monogatari series as a whole, is so good, guys. Monogatari is so good. You have to start watching it.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are saying it's about time.
Yeah, see, because we've actually been... I get tweets from a fan all the time being like, are you watching it yet? Are you watching it yet? I actually have been meaning to tweet him back saying, yeah, I finally started watching it. Thank God. Like, it's amazing.
You can stop tweeting me now.
So, I finished the first season. So, just so everybody's aware, Crunchyroll has all of Monogatari, but they have Bakemonogatari episode 1 through 12, but there's 15 episodes in the season. So I don't know why they don't have 13, 14, and 15, but you do need to see those to finish the first season before you move on to Nisei Monogatari, which I'm on Nisei Monogatari right now.
Are those like maybe OVA bonus episodes or?
Not really, because it finishes the story, because that's where you get Hanekawa turning into the cat girl. And that you find out a whole bunch of extra information about Hanekawa. It's actually really important to the story. Because the OVA for Bakemonogatari actually comes after Nisei Monogatari, when it's Neko Monogatari, black and white, about Hanekawa's past, I believe. However, so Nisei Monogatari, I watched the first episode of that season, which is the second season.
This is like a transitive math problem.
Yeah. The first episode was so funny. So the first season is really good, and it's surprising because it's a lot of talking. The show is a lot of talking, and that's literally what it is. And but it's got comedy, it's got meta, it's got harem, and I love harems. Harems are the best.
I found out why episodes 13, 14, 15 are on there, because they were original net animations.
That's right. Yeah, they were webisodes, but they should still be able to get their hands on them technically. Anyway,
you have to buy it from Aniplex to do that.
Yeah, I think they're on the DVDs. So the first season itself was really good. It did have comedy. It was really funny. But the first episode alone of Nisei Monogatari, the comedy was just up there. Like, it was so tenfold, and it was really funny, which was shocking because it's kind of a horror. It's like a mystery show. It's not horror, but it's got, like, ooh, ghosty ghouls in it. And because it's about apparitions and, you know, people being possessed and haunted and stuff. Yeah, it's really good. I highly, 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 highly recommend the Monogatari series. You should binge through it. You would binge through it. It's great. That's what I'm...
I haven't gotten to binge watch anime in a while.
Yeah, you do have Crunchyroll, right?
I do. Okay. I have Crunchyroll, Hulu Plus, and Netflix.
Yeah, I actually have those last three episodes of the first season myself. So if you want to see them, if you want to watch it and then see those other three, I have them.
Okay,
so,
good to know.
But I do. I really recommend it. It's really good. I think you would like it. Do you like harems?
We've had that discussion before. Yes.
Do we? Because I know you like romance, but do you like harems? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Victoria, you watch that?
I haven't really been watching things because I've been in the midst of moving and trying to get in as much time with my friends as I possibly could. Like, it's been crazy and lots of drunk people, a lot.
What?
I moved in with a Puerto Rican gay guy. Yeah, lots of parties. I love my friends, though. It was so much fun. But yeah, I haven't watched a lot, but I know James recently started watching Fate Zero and Fate Stay Night. Like,
because of Anime Boston.
Because that painting.
He's so obsessed with Saber now, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, I'm so happy.
His background is Saber.
Yeah, I'm so happy. You have no idea how happy I am for him that he's like...
He wants me to watch it, and we both actually started watching Fate Stay Night first, and didn't know Fate Zero was first. So we started watching...
Fate Stay Night came out first. So Fate Zero is a prequel season that came out way later.
So yeah, we watched that one first. Well, I've watched like the first episode or two, and I like it. It's like I said, I haven't had time to, like, you guys know I can sit down and like finish a series in about a day.
Yeah.
And now that I've moved to Massachusetts and don't have a job, that's probably what I'm doing for the next week. But
Bakemonogatari.
I'll make a list, okay?
Okay.
And just give me about 2 weeks, and you know I'll finish everything. So. But yeah, he's been watching that, and he has a new waifu, because any woman in
I'm
armor...
I'm so happy for him. We're going to see him in about a half hour, so I've got to
give him a hug.
Yeah. He's like, good for you, man. You found a new waifu.
You're going to be like...
He's really happy.
You're going to be reacting better to that than when Victoria announced that they got engaged.
Yeah.
It's like...
What?
It's not true.
your waifu's Saber. Congratulations!
But you know what's really dangerous for James? Is they have so many figurines of Saber.
Oh, God.
So, like you know, Ezra Scarlet has, like...
I'd rather Saber, though, than Cortana figures, so...
No, that's true. Which, speaking of which, I have this mouse pad right next to me, and it is, like, the sexiest Cortana I've ever seen.
Anyway,
Jeff and James are Halo nerds, I'm not surprised.
So, but yeah, so, you know, like, Ezra Scarlet is his other waifu. Mm-hmm. They don't make as many figurines of her. They do have figurines of her, and they're mm-hmm. very good. But they have
a lot of Saber.
They have endless amounts of Saber figurines. Like, Fate Stay Night...
There goes the bank account.
Yeah, Fate Stay Night is
your fiancé is gonna make you broke!
Yeah, Fate Stay Night is a huge property. So, like, every season of figurines that, like, you know, there's, like, different seasons of figurines. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, summer figurines come out and, like, there's themes of everything coming out. Always a Saber one. Always Fate Stay Night figurines coming out. Because Fate Stay Night is never ending.
Oh, boy.
Well, I've been watching basically the same stuff I mentioned beforehand, but I have been watching another show, and I do have a minor complaint. Well, I wouldn't say minor, but I do have a complaint with the specific one I started to watch, and I don't think I'm going to finish it. And it's that, haven't you heard I'm Sakamoto show?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I watched the first episode of that, and that was enough for me.
You see, I was watching... I've watched the first four episodes of the series, and I get that... This is a character, oh, he could do just about anything that he can do, and oh, he can do just about everything and anything. I feel like with a show like Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto, it fails to entertain me because it's an anime. And with animation, you can have characters do anything you want. So watching Sakamoto doing all these magnificent things doesn't come as a surprise to me. Now, if they had instead done Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto as a live action series, I think that would be far more entertaining.
It's actually, yeah, that's actually really true.
It's almost in the same sense how funny Cromartie High was as a live action movie.
Yes.
Yes.
You know?
I agree with you, Evan. See, because I watched the first episode of I Am Sakamoto.
It was exhausting.
It was, see, yeah. And I thought it was really funny, but it was really funny for that first episode because I was like, hey, every single episode is going to be exactly the same, isn't it? Yep. So if they made it like a short film, like, okay, cool, like that's nice, but he's just
one of those 3-minute ones.
Yeah, like, yeah. 3-minute short. But he's just going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Plus, it's done by Studio Dean, and Studio Dean's animation is garbage. Except for Konosuba. I hate their animation. It's so, yeah, except for Konosuba. But, like, it's so lazy. Like, their animation is so lazy.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's funny because the one of the funniest scenes in Sakamoto was by far the volleyball scene where those three dudes are just batting around the volleyball talking and then it falls on the ground. They just go, oh,
yeah,
I guess we better go home. Like, that was funny.
And yeah, that's a recurring thing that happens in the series. Those volleyball guys keep showing up, like, in future episodes.
Nice.
But, yeah, like I said, if the show is a live-action series where you see, like, the character Sakamoto doing all these crazy things, that would be so much funnier. But because it's a cartoon... I just feel like it doesn't capture the humor as well. And that's something that I've never really said before in regards to anime. Like, because, like don't get me wrong, like, when you watch, like, an anime, you see all these crazy cool stuff. Like, it just grabs you. But because of the way that Sakamoto is, the way that the show is, like, portrayed, that when he does all these cool stuff, it's kind of boring.
That's true.
I mean, it's...
I agree. 100% agree.
I know that's weird for me to say that, like, this guy's doing amazing stuff and it's boring me, but...
No, it is, because it's the same character flaw that's, like, when you have... It's the trouble with superhero movies. Like, that's why people write Superman so flawed, is because he's a character who cannot be beaten in any way, shape, or form. So they need to put some kind of other flaw, like an emotional flaw in Superman. But when you have a show like... Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto, and he doesn't even have that, and he's perfect, well, what's the point? You know, he's going to win every time. It's boring.
Yeah, exactly. All right, good. I'm not the only one who's thinking that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right. That was a great discussion for what we're watching. I say it's time to move on to our Topagachi for today, and today we are deconstructing the shonen character, because This was actually brought up by a fan. This is a fan-requested topic. Well, not actually fan-requested, but actually fan-inspired. Let me find the original post. So Wicked Fan Michael, he had commented on our last episode, and I quote him in saying, "Gotta say, this episode and the last one, you guys are like 10,000% wrong about Shinji and Midoriya." So, you're literally expecting 14-year-old kids to act like a fusion of Mad Max and Bruce Lee with godlike powers. So this brought up a really intriguing thought about what we've been talking about with our shonen characters. Now, Andrew and I, we get super passionate about stuff sometimes, right, Victoria? So Andrew and I, we get super passionate about stuff, and we go on these rants that kind of sound mean-spirited sometimes, maybe.
Oh, God, yeah.
And
I love talking in hyperbole, though.
But it brought up a really interesting point as to maybe, you know, like, clearly we know that our version of the main shonen lead, like a shonen character, is not everybody's taste. Like, not everybody is going to prefer Soma from Food Wars like we do as much as they prefer someone like Shinji. Because people have differences in opinions as to, you know, what kind of characters they prefer. Michael commented, also added in, saying that he wanted to throw some information about Midoriya from My Hero Academia, which I wanted to talk about because it's, like, my favorite show this season. My Hero Academia is amazing, and I hope that it never stops because it's so great. And then Shinji from Evangelion. So he goes on saying that, "I feel like you guys are wrong about them for opposite reasons. In Midoriya's case, he's been told his entire life that his only dream is completely impossible. He wants to be a hero, but he can't. And there's a lot of other stuff I could say since I'm..." He's okay, so he's currently up on the manga, so he can't say stuff to us because he doesn't know where the anime is. Right now, he's currently... He's doing his entrance tests for the Hero Academy. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, the show is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
He's saying that if Midoriya started out with the same confidence that All Might does, All Might is his mentor, who is like the Superman figure, who can do no wrong or anything like that. If he was exactly like that at the beginning of the series, it would be boring. In the same way that we just talked about Superman, like, not seconds ago, and how Sakamoto is a boring character because he's perfect, you know? But I don't think they're exactly the same. You know what I mean? Because even All Might from My Hero Academia has a fatal flaw in his plan. Yeah. I'm not going to say it for anybody who hasn't seen the series, but All Might has such a huge fatal flaw in the same way that Midoriya does too. And then also for Shinji doesn't want to be a hero. He doesn't ever want to be a hero. So this is the complete opposite of what we're thinking, because a main shonen lead, we always say, like, yeah, they should always want to be a hero. Like, I'm going to stand up to the bad guy. Well, Shinji is never in that. And Andrew, you touched on this in the last one, that he's shunned by everybody. And
what
that
show is this?
Evangelion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Shinji, like, the main character, like, get in the damn robot, Shinji, you know, right? Like, everybody is forcing him to do this, right? So that's and that's an insane thing to ask of a 14-year-old. He's completely expendable, which Andrew mentioned in the last episode, and there's a whole classroom full of this, but kids who can do it, but everybody is telling Shinji that he's the only one. And Shinji only wants to get close to his father. In order to do that, he has to pilot this Eva, which he doesn't want to do, and he just wants to get to know his father, and his father doesn't even want him. So, like, yeah, he's going to be a little depressing.
Yeah.
He's going to be a bit of a downer. But I think Shinji... In certain cases, I don't know if I'm going to contradict myself, but I stand by what I said in the last episode that I prefer characters who are like Soma. I do. I prefer characters like that. It's just a better character to watch because it's not depressing and it's exciting.
Soma from Food Wars.
Soma from Food
Wars. Yes.
I mentioned Food Wars before. Okay. But Shinji is kind of a special case because that is a completely different series on its own. Michael said in his message to us that Evangelion is a deconstruction of the Mecha series in the same way that Madoka is a deconstruction of the Magical Girl series. So before this, we had Gundam. And in Gundam, we have pilots who are really young that are just like, oh, these guys are really cool. They're amazing. They're piloting robots and they're going to war and they're not going to die. You know, like that whole thing. And then you watch Evangelion and it's like, oh man, if he gets in that robot, he's gonna die, you know? So it's
a lot more serious.
Yeah, yeah. And depressing and terrible. Yeah, so terrible. I mean, do you even put Evangelion into the shonen category?
It's more of like an anti-shonen show.
It's a seinen, like a seinen anime, you know?
Seinen is for older males.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I would put it in as a shonen, really. Because Shinji follows has all those tropes that we don't like as a shonen character, but I wouldn't put Evangelion in a Shonen Jump Weekly. Not next to One Piece and Bleach.
No.
And stuff no like way. That.
No.
You know? But Michael's information to us is super eye-opening. I love the fact that he sent us this because it's going to give us a great topic to talk about. Mm-hmm. Because I think that Midoriya from My Hero Academia is definitely a more reasonable case to discuss, as to which, if you haven't heard the last two episodes, we were talking about, like, Midoriya doesn't stop crying for the first four episodes. Mm. Crying all the time because he wants to be a hero so bad. The only thing he's ever wanted to do in his life is he wants to be a hero. But he doesn't have superpowers like 80% of the rest of the world. Everybody has superpowers of some sort. He has none. Like, even his mom, Midoriya's mom's superpower is that she can levitate very small items.
Yeah, it has to be very small and very light.
Yeah, so she's really good at cooking because she can bring, like, knives and stuff to her, like, float them over to her. And when Midoriya finds out that he has no superpowers, he asks his mom, hey, can I still be a hero someday? And she says, I'm sorry, no. Which is devastating to hear if you were a kid, right? Yeah. Like, if you were a kid like, when I was seven, I said, I want to make video games. And if somebody just straight up told me no, I'd be devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. I would have been devastated. Like, I would have cried about it. But here's the difference. Is Midoriya still has his dream of becoming a hero, even though people told him no afterwards. He still strives to go into the academy and become a hero. And he stands up to bullies and everything like that, even though he has no powers than they do, and he gets beat up all the time. And, like, he cries about it. And that's where my problem comes in. I feel like that if he really wants to be a hero, yeah, he should take his influence from All Might and act like All Might. You know? Stand up, puff out his chest. And, mm-hmm. You know? That's where my stance on it is, and Michael disagreed with us.
Yeah.
Which is great. I think that's perfectly fine that he disagreed with us. I honestly feel like this comment that he gave us is a long time coming from all of our fans. I'm sure there's a lot of our fans out there who have listened to our show and been like, these guys need to shut up. Victoria has said it a lot.
Yeah. I was like, only once or twice.
To deconstruct the shonen character, we have to think of somebody like Edward Elric as well. So Edward Elric starts out the series as like a 14-year-old kid, right?
Yeah, he's really, really young.
He's like 14 or 15. But, like, and he's a tough kid.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, he's a brat. He's a brat, but like you can kind of get behind his motives.
Yeah, like he loses his mom really, really fast. I was supposed to say, like, I gotta be careful what I say about this. Like, people have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loses his mom, and it's really severe and painful, and then, like, he's just determined and, like, I'm gonna do this. I feel like he's, like, hiding that he's not a horrible person by being an asshole for a while. But, like...
he's still a tough kid.
But, yeah, think about his character, you know? He goes through
so much so early.
Yeah.
That, like, he has to grow up really fast. I mean, he has to take care of his younger brother. I mean, their father abandoned them. Their mother dies when they're really young.
Yeah. But here's the difference, too. He's really smart. Both he and his brother are really smart in the ways of alchemy, mm-hmm. you know? And in order to be an alchemist, you gotta be really smart. Really, mm-hmm. really frickin' smart. And as opposed to a character like Midoriya from My Hero Academia, he's just a little kid. He's a regular kid, you know? Just as all of us went through elementary school to high school, mm-hmm. you know? So I guess there's kind of a difference in those characters that, like... Because I feel that you can split shonen characters into two categories. Ones who are tough and manly right off the bat, and ones who are cowards who need to grow a backbone. Who need to find their motive to grow a backbone.
So
and both of those things that I said are both really harsh, like right next to yeah. each other. But that's fine. I don't care.
So I feel like honestly, one of the characters you can pull out of that real fast is, if I remember correctly, it's been a long time since I've watched this, but I think you can go into Dragon Ball.
Yep.
With that, because Gohan, in the beginning, is like a whiny crybaby.
Yeah, but...
And then he gets, like, really awesome.
And, but you kind of have to also remember about his dad, Goku, yeah. went in Dragon Ball. In the first one, they're, like, polar opposites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Goku as a kid was, like, this really cocky, like, punk brat mm-hmm. Who could do whatever the heck he wanted. Because he was like, I'm awesome, man. Like, yeah. I'm so cool. And then you got Gohan as a little kid who's, you know...
To be fair, his mom is scary as hell.
Yeah. And like... also, to be fair to...
Oh, Chi-Chi?
Yeah. Chi-Chi's terrifying.
Also, on the note of fairness, too, there hasn't been a single character who has been kidnapped as much as Gohan in his adolescence in a shonen series.
Oh my god, that's really true.
Well, especially, and then you got someone like Piccolo who's screaming at you all the time.
Yeah, right.
Dodge.
The one who's training him.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think Goku Nerd. As a child. Yeah, I don't think Goku as a child ever had Piccolo screaming at him.
No.
But even still, like you kind of look at that and like the polar opposites of father to son mm-hmm. as far as their childhood goes. That's actually like a really interesting thing to look at that I've actually like. Only thought about just this moment. Yeah, like, huh.
Topic number two.
I wonder if they did that on purpose. They must have. Yeah. They must have done that on purpose. Or Akira Toriyama.
Well, then, like, then it's like, Goten is a lot like his dad.
Yeah, that's true.
Goten's
yeah.
a little shit.
You mean Goten's more like grandpa? Or
no.
No.
Goten is Goku's son, right?
Yeah, yes. Videl is Gohan and... No, not Videl. Pan.
Pan is
Videl and Gohan's kid.
So but Chi-Chi and I forgot about that.
Because then there's Trunks like and Goten and they do their like fusion thing and yeah, I watched Dragon Ball a little.
That's kind of like an us situation when we have a little brother like that young. Like we're like Gohan's age and our brother's like Goten's age. Or,
yeah. yeah.
So
now I have a sister who's 6.
That's right, yeah.
Turning 25.
Getting ready for that quarter-life crisis.
No!
It's all right.
My friend calls it my quarcentennial, I believe.
Yeah, I already went through my quarter-life crisis, and it was not so bad. I got over it pretty quickly.
Anyways.
I did mine 6 years ago.
Anyways, what do you guys prefer in your shonen characters? Like, when you go into a shonen character, which one do you prefer to watch?
I think it's kind of obvious who I prefer. I think everybody here would know that I prefer a JoJo, Kenshiro, Soma type character. I do. Now, okay, so here's the thing that I think I really need to point out too, is even though like I say things like that about Evangelion, Shinji, and Midori from Hero Academia, I really love those shows.
Yeah.
I love those shows. I just have, like, I've been like, I really wish the main character wasn't crying at me right now because it's a really awkward situation and I really don't want to listen to that. Come back to me when you're Kenshiro.
yeah.
Like, that's all. Like, I really like those characters. But yes, I much prefer, like, watching JoJo as far as my shonen characters go and being like, yes, manly.
Mm. I'm going through all the shonen in my head and I'm like, oh shit, I like the crybabies.
Do you?
I think I do.
But you're really on top of One Piece, right?
Yeah, and at the beginning, Luffy's kind of like a little bit of a loser at the beginning.
But he's very confident still, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, confident. He's cocky as hell. But like, when you go learn more about his past, like, he grew up like so wimpy. And right, like, yeah. He got his ass kicked by his brothers like forever, and it was I don't know, I like that there's a development there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're learning where they're coming from.
But your favorite is Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, yeah. No, like, Ed went through hell, but he's always been cocky. But, like, I like the story of, like, them going through a lot and learning from it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Ed does that. I mean, I'm trying to think. Luffy, he had to learn a lot, and then he's not exactly the smartest bulb, but he's still a lot of fun. And Natsu, like...
Yeah, see, you're kind of pointing towards, like, the non-crybaby types, it seems.
Yes and no. Like, if you learn more... Like, Natsu got abandoned by his father.
I like that we're saying crybaby types. Like, it's so... That's so, like, offensive.
But. So here's the...
Like, I love the tough guys. I really do love the tough guys. But, like, a lot of them did have, like, a really hard beginning.
Most everybody does have a really hard beginning. Like, Kenshiro mm-hmm. had his... Like, the reason why he's even on his journey is because the person he loved got stolen or kidnapped away from him.
And, Yuria!
Like, he's going off to... Yeah, he, like, and he's, his goal is to find Yuria. And, you know, Shin
See,
almost
now,
tried to kill him.
See, if you had told me that, like, months ago, I probably would have watched the show.
Yeah, so Yuria got kidnapped by Shin, who and they used to be, like, best friends. Mm-hmm. And Shin left him to die. That's why he has, like, the scars on it of the... Of the North Star on his chest.
Well, see, the main reason I'm saying it, like, I'm not. So the thing I loved before Full Metal was Inuyasha.
Yeah.
Who, though he is kind of a knucklehead, tough guy, big whippy crybaby all the freaking time.
Really? I didn't know Kikyo that.
About every 5 freaking seconds.
I didn't know that.
Oh my god. Like, he doesn't actually cry, but, like, he goes running after this woman who wants to kill him every freaking episode. Like, every time he sees her, she's gonna try and kill him, and he ditches the girl that he's currently with to go be with this other woman who's a clone of her. Like, it's ridiculous. But, like, it's constantly just, like,
you know,
really, you're kind of a big pussy about this. What the hell? Just move on. She's dead. Go to this one. But...
And, you know, you mentioned Inuyasha, and I like a shonen show who's by the same... creator, which is Ranma One Half.
Yeah.
And Ranma is a cocky asshole as well. Like, he's just, and, like, there's no crybaby in him at all. He's just the best at everything. Like, he's one of those, like, I'm the best at everything and I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not. He's not the best at, but he's very good.
See, that's how Inuyasha is. He's very much like a cocky asshole, and he feels like he's amazing and he can do whatever, and he's like, whatever, I'm awesome. Essentially, he kind of acts like he can have whoever he wants because he's got Kagome and he has Kikyo. But, like, every single time that she's there, he gets really upset. He focuses on her. He ditches everything. He doesn't think about what he's doing. He just lets his mind go to that. And then, like, he spends an entire episode just, like, depressed about it. And then, like, if it's a new moon and he loses his half-demonness,
yep.
Oh my god, he's just, like, pissed off in the corner the whole time. Like, he has, I swear to god, Inuyasha PMSs half this, like, series.
That kind of, it kind of sounds like Ichigo, like, from Bleach, where,
yeah.
Like, whenever Ichigo can't beat somebody, he, mm-hmm. like, and is, like, in, like, a bit of a rut, like, he gets depressed about it. Like, he's just like, oh, I can't believe I can't beat this person. What am I going to do?
And like, then, like,
he usually says it with, like, half of his shoulder missing because a sword has gone through it or something like that.
How about you, Evan?
Yeah, Evan, what do you got?
You see, I prefer the ones that, you know, they start out as weak and then they become strong and confident because I feel like those are the ones that more people can relate to. Because the exactly. ones that start out as, like, completely strong from start to finish... You can't relate to those as well,
okay.
And not to mention the other ones who start as a wimpy little crybaby and end as a wimpy little crybaby. You just get annoyed with those sorts of characters, and that should have been, like, a topic from last week's discussion. I do like the characters that start off weak but then become strong because I feel like Natsu from Fairy Tail is a good example, especially if you look at how he grew up from being raised by his dragon father, however you want to say that.
Oh, dude, if you go into the manga, it's so much deeper and worse. Like, but yeah, like, yeah, Natsu, he grew up, and then he grew up with a dragon,
mm-hmm.
raised by a dragon, and then the dragon freaking leaves, and then he becomes best friends with this girl, who then up and dies.
Yep.
And, like, literally, just, like, repeated, like, depression and sadness. But he stays, like... the goofball after he's sad, like, for the reasonable amount of time to be sad when you're abandoned and someone you care about dies, like, but he's super determined to find the dragon,
right, which is why I relate to him more than something like a character like Jotaro, who I do love, but I can't relate to him on the same level as I can with a character like Natsu.
I relate with Jotaro so much. I really do. It's so fun.
But
I'm with Evan on this one.
But I'm looking at my one of my movie posters right now. I'm looking at my movie poster for Puella Magia and Madoka Magica. And I'm thinking of the character of Madoka, how she starts out as weak. But then as the show progresses, it takes her a while. Not until probably like the second to last episode where she starts to get that confidence that she becomes the one that must save the world. And she realizes that. So she has to build it up from within her. And I like a character like Madoka because she is so relatable, because she has been put into a situation that most people would never want to be in. But yet, when the time comes, she realizes that she has the confidence, she has the can-do attitude, and she has the capability of overcoming such a huge obstacle.
Here's something that I want to bring up that references pretty much everything that we've been talking about thus far, because I kind of realized it as we were all talking about this, and we were talking the difference between characters who are quote-unquote crybabies and then characters who are tough guys. And I think that deep down, all of them are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Because it all depends on the outward appearance that they put forth. You know, we see the character in the moment in time that we're given. But I think that every single character has been through the same exact thing. Like, for example, when you watch My Hero Academia, you see Midoriya cry all the way through the beginning, whereas opposed to Luffy and Natsu from Fairy Tail and One Piece, they haven't cried, or you don't see them cry much in the series because they've already gone past that point at one time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Then you get to Lucy in Fairy Tail, who cries like every other episode.
Yeah,
I still love her.
But yes,
but she's a girl.
What's your point?
So this
now I cry a lot too.
So this brings up the point of basic storytelling, which is the hero's journey. And the best example that anybody could possibly give for the hero's journey is Star Wars. It is the most basic form in any
James isn't here for this conversation.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
In the most basic form of any point. Let's take a look at Luke Skywalker, our hero. I mean, what kind of character is he in the beginning? He's a whiny crybaby. He's, you know, but I was gonna go into town to
Uncle Owen.
Yeah, you know. So and then he gets put on this motivational path to become stronger. And then at the end of the episode, at the end of the series, when you're watching episode 6, when he's fighting against Darth Vader, and oh my gosh, there's so much emotion in there, and like he's strong, he's a Jedi, you know, like
he's the friggin' man.
I think that there's a difference between these series that we're talking about. I think we're talking about the exact same characters this entire time, mm-hmm. you know, except in one case, we're looking at characters starting in Star Wars Episode 4 and then characters who are starting in Star Wars Episode 6. It all depends on when your journey starts, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just mm-hmm. a really interesting point that I wanted to bring up. You know.
It's like I can't think of a main character that I've watched from a show that I've watched that like is whiny the whole time.
Yeah, even right now, the character that we based this whole conversation off, Midoriya from My Hero Academia, mm-hmm. not really whiny anymore. Like we're 6 episodes in, completely different character already.
Yeah,
because they grow, and I feel like I relate more to the characters. Like Evan said, when they do learn and they grow from those things,
mm-hmm.
and like it's a lot easier to relate to those people.
Yeah. And I just find that I like to connect with the characters who, right off the bat, like to stand up for what's right, even if they know that they're going to get hurt in a fight. And Midoriya is that character.
He just cries.
But he just cries.
He just cries first.
Which isn't a bad thing. We talked about this on the last episode too. If you haven't heard the last episode of our podcast, we talk about this a lot. It's not a bad thing to cry. Don't take that the wrong way.
I do it a lot, especially after the move.
It's never a bad thing to be sad. It's never a bad thing because even Kenshiro cries. And it's never a bad thing.
He never closes his eyes though.
It's never a bad thing to feel emotion of any kind. I just want to point that out too, because I'm an extremely emotional person. You can tell that when I go on rants, but for different reasons. Those are different kinds of emotions. Never mind. Like, I'm glad that you know, I hope that we cleared up some stuff.
It's dumb to do it for, like, no reason.
Right. It's not okay to whine.
Yes.
It's not okay to whine. It's okay to cry over what hurts you and then fight back. Yeah.
Then whining is expected.
Yeah, see, Kenshiro got his woman taken away from him, so he was going to go kick some ass.
Yeah. You cry about it, and then you get up back up on your feet and you fight back.
Kenshiro just sits in a corner and writes emo songs about the girl being stolen away from him.
That's actually
have a conversation though of like all the dads and their kids and the differences, because I'm like going through my, I'm trying not to go through my head right now of all the fathers and like.
Maybe that should be next episode.
Maybe not just fathers, but father figures.
When's Father's Day?
When is Father's Day?
June, right?
I say
and like living up to your father in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to hear people's feedback on this topic. I think that we've talked about
Please
it.
Please don't get too mad at me for calling anyone a crybaby. I'm sorry.
Because
I will cry. Like, I'll be honest, I will.
Yeah, we're harsh about stuff on the show all the time. Everybody knows that, you know, but...
Don't care.
But, I mean, honestly, I feel like that we just like to make caricatures of the characters we love.
Yeah.
You know? So, if we were too harsh...
I feel like Alphonse gets depressed a lot, but he can't cry. He'd rust. So.
And he doesn't have tear ducts anymore, so he can't rust anywhere. Right?
At least he has a place to put his cat.
All the cats.
Michael, thank you for bringing up this topic. I'm glad that we got to talk about it. I think this was a really fun topic.
Hopefully
to talk
we didn't make him matter, but you know.
If he did, please comment on this episode and we'll send you a pizza roll. Andrew, where can they also...
I think they'll send you a pizza roll.
Yeah. Actually, before we do shameless plugs, do we have some fan service to go through?
We do have fan service, and we kind of have a lot, but not really. It's just kind of long. First off, Temsu shot us an email over on Gmail, and Temsu says that, hey, I've been watching Kiznaiver, and he says thanks for the recommendation. But it also kind of fits into the topic from last week.
Characters who annoy us.
Characters that annoy us.
Can you see where this episode stemmed from, Victoria?
Yeah,
that makes sense then. So I actually don't find anybody from Kiznaiver annoying, but he did. And he says that it was Sonozaki.
I can level with him. Honestly, I can. Sonozaki is the blue-haired character who brings all of the characters together and makes them Kiznaivers. She is an emotionless character, a clean slate, you know.
That's boring.
And,
well, see, there you can't relate to her.
Right.
So the point is kind of the purpose of the show. Like, something happened between the main character and her. Not between them, but something happened to them. And this is, that's the where the show's leading up to, is what happened to these characters.
Okay.
Because they both don't feel emotion. But they share the emotions of all these other Kiznaivers, so they can feel it.
So he's annoyed by her because, he's put into the situation of the characters who were kidnapped and experimented on and put through all these trials. What a really jerk move to do, you know? And there's an underlying tone in the series that Sonozaki just wants to understand what emotions are. Right? But regardless of what she feels, he's still annoyed by her, understandably, because her character trope is kind of boring, I guess. And just that she doesn't care. Like there's this moment in time where Sonozaki does not care about these other characters or what happens to them. She's all doing it for the sake of science, and then you bring in, you know, the other experiment characters, which I'm not going to spoil because it's a very recent thing. In the series, it's just kind of like a bad situation. He's looking at it from the perspective of the Kiznaivers and what he would do if suddenly he was kidnapped and turned into a Kiznaiver. And it's Sonozaki's fault per se, and that's not okay in his eyes.
Cool. So thanks, Semsu. Thank you for contributing that. That is amazing.
Yeah, you know, I never even considered that as an annoying anime character sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one that we did miss.
It was kind of like a different take on it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had Anna. Anna sent us that Gmail as well, and we talked about her story. Sean tweeted at us. Sean gave us a little bit of a shout-out on Facebook because he was giving blood one day.
Twitter. He gave a shout on Twitter.
What'd I say?
Facebook.
Oh, well, I did say tweet at us. Anyway.
He tweeted at us on Facebook.
Yeah, he tweeted at us on Facebook.
Really?
So, Sean, you're going to appreciate this because you're going to know exactly what he's talking about.
Oh.
Sean sent us a tweet and said, "I'm waiting in line to give blood. I have about one Brad Swale to go."
Oh, God.
But after he gave blood...
That's hanging up in my closet right now.
Yeah, he said that overall... He had to wait just under two Brad Swales.
For anybody who doesn't know what the Brad Swale joke is, he waited 6 hours in line.
I'm so confused that other people are using that as a thing now. Like, what?
So a Brad Swale is 3.5 hours.
Because that's how long we waited in 2008 to get his autograph at Anime Boston.
Yeah, which now they don't allow that anymore.
Yeah, that would never happen.
Brad Swale is 3.5 hours. I can't believe we waited that long. That's amazing. Man, that is a long time to wait in line. He said bonus doesn't matter because he was getting paid for it, so it's...
True.
So, yeah, I'm sure he got cookies and juice, too. How are the cookies and juice, Sean? That's the more important matter at hand.
I know at work we used to get free movie tickets if we went and donated blood.
Really?
More than just cookies and milk.
Well, what? Well, that sounds awesome.
Well, they can't have it. It's mine.
So. I know. I'm too scared of needles. Like,
yeah, that's my thing.
I go, but...
Well, I just had my blood taken at... I went to my physical on Friday, and they took some blood, and now they're using... See, now they're using, like, really thin needles. I literally couldn't even feel it. Like, it was like...
They wouldn't do that for
giving blood, it's a bigger needle.
They use, elephant needles.
Yeah, because they need to get all the blood out faster.
My friend posted a picture of her holding a bag of her blood, and she's like, it's a bag of me!
Oh, I'm holding some of my life in my hands.
This girl's crazy anyways. I hung out with her in the parks, and she bit my shoulders twice.
How did it happen twice, for one thing?
We're in line for a ride, and she just bit my shoulder, and then maybe an hour later, after I yelled at her because she's not 5 years old, she bit my other shoulder. I'm like, what the hell?
It was to match.
Yeah, this is the same girl who threatened me. She's like, if we don't get to hang out before you leave for Massachusetts, I'm gonna get on a plane and pretend I have a knife. And I'm like,
this. Don't post that on Facebook.
She's crazy. I love her though.
Oh, man. And then, over on Facebook. Like, this is actually over on Facebook now.
This is on For Real's Facebook.
Yeah. Big Bad Shadow Man sent us over a toy shelf, believe it or not. It was actually... We probably should have mentioned this over on a toy shelf, but yeah, it is more of a fan service thing. That there's more... I don't know if... There's a recent trend that's been popping up, which is Evangelion versus Godzilla.
Ooh.
And so now there's a figurine popping up of...
I love this.
Of Rei, Ayanami from Evangelion, right? That's her right there.
Okay.
We have Evangelion figurines in front of us in the room, which is beautiful. I love it. Thank you, Jeff, for having an Evangelion fandom. Of Rei holding, like, a little mini baby Godzilla. Like, look at this. This right here.
Aww.
This figurine is awesome.
She's cuddling a little cute Godzilla.
Yeah. So we really should have talked about it on Toy Shelf, but thank you, Big Bad, for
the follow-up. Yeah,
for the follow-up, because that's awesome. And then Keto would like to point out that, man, because we talked about Baby Metal on the last episode, too, that over in Canada, that their Baby Metal tickets sold out so fast.
Wow.
Yeah. Which they actually did here, too. We were at a sold-out show, but we actually got pre-sale tickets for having a promo code. Thank you, Evan.
You're welcome. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because one of our friends who we saw at the Baby Metal concert, this was technically the first time he had seen Baby Metal, but it was his second Baby Metal concert because he went to a Baby Metal concert in Canada. The first time they ever played in Canada, and it was the closest time they ever played to the United States. It was a year, 2 years ago now, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And he never made it inside the venue.
Oh my
he
gosh.
Heard Baby Metal playing their set from outside the venue, and then when he got in, it was over.
Well, I heard it was super crowded.
Wouldn't that be, like, so heartbreaking?
Yeah.
I would die. Oh,
super crowded. So Baby Metal, hard to see in Canada, I guess.
And it's usually hard for us in the Boston area to see any Japanese band besides Baby Metal. So it came as a nice surprise that they actually did a Boston gig here.
Yes, yeah, it was a blessing in disguise. Indeed. Not in disguise, it was just a blessing.
Yeah.
So finally, we want to give our shout out, monthly shout out from our Patreon supporter.
Yeah, if you guys are supporters on Patreon, if you're at the $20 tier, if you pay more, $20 or more, you can type to us whatever the heck you want, and we will shout it out for you.
Yeah, and our self-proclaimed number one fan, Allison.
I love her.
She has some competition. She has some pretty stiff competition for number one fan.
Well, eventually we're gonna have a battle royale. Well, because all of our number one
the thing
fans
is, and that's not coming from me. Like, because like anybody can say that they're number one fan of Wicked Anime, and I accept all of you guys equally. Mm-hmm. But there's a bunch of fans that would be like, no, I'm the number one fan. So yeah. we gotta contest
I've
this.
I've only met Allison, and I've hugged Allison, and well, we met her sister too.
Yep.
But like, Allison's my girl. I love her. So
yeah. So Allison, she wanted to give her shout out, and every shout out that she's done so far has always been about a charity. And this charity that she wants to talk about now is Beagle Freedom Project, which is a charity that gives homes to beagles who have been in product testing facilities. So after they have chemical testings on them for, like, I don't know, makeup, shampoos, whatever.
Yeah.
So
you guys must be kind of curious. It's like, wow, that's really specific. Why just beagles? It's because beagles are the number one type of dog to be tested for some reason. I don't know why.
Are they the highest breeded dog, maybe? There's an overabundance of beagles, so that you just use beagles?
No.
I feel like I haven't seen beagles.
Maybe it's because their hair matches closer to our hair, maybe?
That could be.
That would make more sense. Yeah.
I think it actually has more to do with their personalities as dogs, like their personalities of reacting to things.
They are very emotional dogs.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There could be
animal testing alone is just horrible.
Yeah, there could be so many reasons for this. Anyways, Beagle Freedom Project, you can donate dogs. Donate dogs. You can adopt beagles who have been a part of animal testing.
Help in their rehabilitation.
So instead of probably being put down after they're a failed test subject or whatever.
That's horrible.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You go, Allison.
See, yay. I love that she keeps introducing us into all these good charities and stuff.
Yeah.
She's really awesome about that.
Yeah, a very charity-driven fan, that's for sure. And whenever we're at Anime Boston, we're always donating to the charity over there because it's our charity. So what do you know? That's how we better.
True. I feel like I should correct something because I did say that she... But I love everyone who listens to this. Like, I will hug anyone who's like, hey, I know who you are. So,
and if you say... If you hug Victoria and say you are our number one fan...
I'll probably cry.
Then there you go. Like, that is what she's getting at right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I am the fangirl. And the fact that Allison is a
You are wearing a shirt that says fangirl.
It is. It's... yeah, I have a T-Turtle shirt that says fangirl with a bunch of different characters on it, including Edward Elric over in the corner. Who but, yeah, I'm literally a fangirl. And having a fangirl, like, best feeling ever. We fangirled over each other when I met her. It was pretty great.
It was like a fangirl paradox.
Amazing.
If you walked in between them, you would have went deaf over the screen.
time would stand still.
That was so great, though.
Time stood still between them.
Yeah, no, like... Love her, Sue. If anyone says they're the number one fan, they've got some tough competition to convince me here. Just saying.
So, you know. Ooh.
It's on.
I guess we know how to settle this. I feel like we need to get all these so-called number one fans together and have a Senran Kagura Estival versus 10-woman battle royale.
I would watch that.
Yeah, that sounds good, except it's going to be live action, so they have to get into bikinis and fight each other.
Oh, dear God.
What did you just say?
Well, if they're going to be bikinis, put them out on the vagina kayaks.
And that's as strange as it gets. All right, guys. Okay, so where else? If you guys want to join in on this crazy conversation that we're having right now.
It's a lot of fun.
You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post news and funny things that we find around on the internet. You can also chat with us over there if you want. Shoot us a comment or whatever. You can also listen to our podcast at nerdyshow.com if you're not already there listening to it. That's nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. You can also listen to the podcast at soundcloud.com/wickedanime and on iTunes. And hey, there's videos over on nerdyshow.com as well, but videos can also be found at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews.
Subscribe!
You can also find us on all the other social meets. Over at Twitter, you can tweet at us @YoWickedAnime, and you can tumble at us, I guess you can tumble at us.
Yeah, you can. You totally can, but people stopped doing that a while ago, which is fine because I barely ever check Tumblr.
But we still kind of...
You guys had me run it for a while. Yeah. Fell off the planet, sorry.
Well, Tumblr sucks.
Well, let's be honest. Got a job at Disney, which is, like, infinitely more jealous-driven.
Being a Hogwarts student at Universal, that was the
better one. That was the better one?
That's
okay.
Right. I was a Hogwarts student. I worked at the castle. I called everyone muggle, and I wore Hufflepuff.
I'm so glad that they allowed you to wear whatever class you identified with.
It's the sizes. I mean, like, I made the medium fit. I didn't give two shits. Like, Hufflepuff came in extra small and medium. It's like, bitch, our common room's next to the kitchen. We're not gonna be small.
Oh, I'm an art guy. I'd be in Ravenclaw.
No, you wouldn't, because Ravenclaw is XL, 3XL.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
We don't have that many. I don't know. It's just what they did. Yeah. But
I'd make it work. The way you made the medium work, I'd make it. Yeah.
Do it. You know, that was the best job.
And
got off topic, sorry.
And that's on Tumblr. That's wickedanime.tumblr.com. There you go.
I'm sorry.
And finally, you can find us at twitchtv.com, and that's Wicked Anna Play, where we stream some stuff every once in a while.
Yeah, you can find some of our Overwatch streams.
Okay, I'm going to try and join them for that.
Man, we should totally watch. I totally forgot. You can watch us play. We'll show you those videos.
Yeah, because I just want to watch you guys play.
Like little short highlights.
I
want to
play Overwatch more than anything in the world. I just don't have a
PlayStation 4. And I'm getting mine on Monday.
I don't have a PS4. I'm trying to afford one.
You and James are in talks right now. As far as
Whereas I also have to put a car on the road and get a job, and we're trying to pay rent and get money for a wedding. So, there's no way I'm going to get one anytime soon unless someone else buys it. So, I'm going to do what I can and then join you guys. But
maybe a wedding gift? But that's 2 years from now.
That's 2 years, there'll be a PS5 guys. By then. I want to play! I'm a gamer. I can't ever join them because everyone who has a system I can use is an Xbox.
Evan, would you like to share where everybody can find you on the social media?
Okay, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Anime Amino at KingBabyDuckESH, on Twitter at King_Baby_Duck, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistreetinc. Like us on facebook.com/Boston Bastard Brigade and on facebook.com/Land of Esh. And also don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, Nerd Crave, and the Structure Network. And be sure to check out one of our recent episodes with Andrew from Wicked Anime, as he and the DCD, the George Clooney of Video Game Journalism, we chat about Doom and Flying Witch.
Yes, we did talk about Doom and Flying Witch. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm shocked. I think you did yours faster than Evan.
Whoa.
And I'm really confused.
Yeah. Evan did it pretty cleanly though. So.
Yeah.
That still counts.
Mm.
You're getting better though. You're getting better.
Well, that's good.
It took 86 episodes.
It's up and down.
89.
It's up and down. It's up and down. So sometimes I do really well. Sometimes I don't. It's fine. It's conversational.
At least you got it in before episode 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to be on point for that one.
Ooh, episode 100 might be very special though.
Next episode is episode 90, and I feel like that we should make it a certain announcement.
Maybe we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But just know that we're working on something very special that's been in the works for a very long time for episode 100. And no, it's not a second hentai episode. I'm sorry, it's not a second hentai episode. One hentai episode was more than enough for me. I feel ashamed enough already as is that we even have one. Kind of. Anyway, so that's it, guys. That's all we have for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will have you guys listening on the next one.
Yeah, we're gonna make you listen.
That's right.
Because
you guys are our number one fans.
And I kind of just said that we'd kill our fans if you're not going to listen. Oh, did I say that by accident?
We can edit it out later.
You're real good at this, you guys.
I didn't mean that at all.
I think you should edit it out. You should need to have the apology.
Every time that somebody says you should edit it out, that's usually means we're going
to
keep it in.
Yeah, that's usually the flag for us to keep it in so they can listen to us say you should edit that out.
Goodbye.
Bad that my roommates are walking into the apartment for this conversation.
This is the best. You just came into the part about the vaginas. Hi, oh Jeff. Hi, Jen. You have a very lovely apartment.
We're not here. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
We're trying to be quiet.
Wicked, hey! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.